Lyricist, the missing piece of Jetpack Compose.
Lyricist has about 500 stars.
Oh, stop right there. How does that actually work?
Basically move from the Android folder to the common main folder. And yeah, it's done.
Or otherwise known as Compose on warp speed.
Why you created this library in the first place?
I know that this show was mainly about Lyricist, but I think both Seb and I are interested to hear a little bit more about something else that you've got going on.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Talking Kotlin. Today, we're sitting down with Adriel Cafe, and we're going to be talking about his library, Lyricist. But before we say hello to Adriel, of course, we need to say hello to my wonderful co-host, Hadi. Hadi, how are you doing?
I just realized something, Seb. Every single time you say, today we're sitting down, when you introduce the show, and literally about the only time I use my standing desk is for this show.
Oh, what's up with that?
What, the standing desk or the show?
Yes. I mean, you could justify yourself for both of them if you'd like.
I don't know. It's like, it's a lot of effort to click on the button. You know, it's like, oh God, now I got to wait for this to go up. And you're just standing there. And then my legs get tired. And then I realize that maybe one of the reasons my legs get tired is because I don't have a leg day in my training routine. And then I realized that, do I really even have a training routine, or is it just random days that I decide to train? And then I just, oh, damn it. Okay, yeah. Never mind. Yes, how are you?
I'm excellent. You know, I have to admit, I found myself at some point
sitting down. Wait, is this like a spiritual thing?
I found myself. Yeah. I think it's one of the essential parts. I found myself sitting in front of a standing desk at some point, like with the desk up, like hands up, because I just kind of, I don't know, I just couldn't take it anymore. I'm trying, you know, the effort is there. But yeah, sometimes it's hard.
Have you seen Chicken Little?
I have, but it's been like 10 years.
Yeah, you know, it's like the sky is falling. In your case, it'll be like, the earth is going down, the earth is going down. Like, you don't get it? Like, your standing desk goes
sure,
up?
Sure, yeah, I'm just thinking. Yeah.
Okay, I'll stick to technology. Fine.
That sounds like a great idea.
Who's our guest today?
Yeah, so our guest today is Adriel Cafe, who works on a bunch of different libraries, including Lyricist. Hi, Adriel. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Seb. Hi, Hadi. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you.
Really lovely
coming.
To have you. Yeah, absolutely. So, Adriel, the probably the title of this episode, we don't know yet, is going to be something involved with Lyricist. So for those people who don't know about the library, do you want to give maybe just a brief pitch about what it's all about and what it's used for?
Sure. So Lyricist is a internationalization library for Jetpack Compose multi-platform, of course, and Kotlin multi-platform projects. So it's all about translations.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I think it's in the GitHub, it even mentions that in the description, it says it's the missing internationalization and localization library, which is, of course, quite cool. I'm particularly excited to hear that it's, of course, Compose multi-platform, and I think we need to talk about that a little bit later. But I'm curious why you created this library in the first place. You say there it's the missing library, so I'm sensing that there's probably some use case that you had in mind yourself that you needed to fill.
So I will go back in time a little bit. So in 2020, Compose was in dev releases, alpha releases, and I was testing, experimenting, not in production, of course. And in 2021, it was beta, if I recall correctly. And I started doing more serious things with Compose. And Compose is great. With Compose, we don't need to write XML anymore, right? So we don't write the UI on XML. We don't write our theme or colors or dimensions, animations, even drawables. But strings, we still write in XML, even with Compose. So I was getting a little bit anxious to write only Kotlin from end to end and say goodbye to XML. And I was working on a side project, and I made some experiments using declaring strings on a data class and giving multiple translations. Each instance of a data class is a new locale, right? So Lyricist born from that idea to say goodbye to XML, to use full idiomatic Kotlin to write our translations and share between Android, iOS, and desktop.
Oh, stop right there. Okay, here's the thing. I think we take for granted internationalization/localization. I think that a lot of people don't even actually know what that means. I think some people don't even know if there's a difference between those two things. So, and I want to even take a step back before Compose and Compose multi-platform and even look at, for instance, Kotlin. So first of all, tell us what internationalization is, tell us what localization is, and tell us the differences.
So internationalization is basically give multiple language support to our apps. So if our app supports Portuguese, English, Spanish, Russian, and so on, we have a strings file for each language. And that is internationalization. But we can go even further. And for a language, let's say English, we can have a localization for English from United States, the English from England, which is a little bit different.
And yes, England, there's Queen's English and then everything else.
Yeah. So, yeah, localization.
Not really that English, but okay. Yes.
Yeah, so localization is basically to give better support for languages of each country or of each locale, right? So Portuguese, which is my main language, we have Portuguese from Brazil and Portuguese from Portugal, Portuguese from Angola and Mozambique and so on. So each country has its own locale specificities. So in my app, I can support every language.
Okay. And so from the perspective of like Kotlin, especially for folks that aren't familiar with Jetpack Compose or Compose Multiplatform or don't even know what that is, from the perspective of Kotlin, one of the things that we have in Kotlin is string interpolation, right? And we're proud of our string interpolation. How does that actually work in terms of localization? How do you deal with that? With just a simple, like, give me the hello world of localization and internationalization.
So should I speak about interpolation first or the hello world?
I just want to know if I write a console app that's called Hello World, that prints out Hello World using Kotlin string interpolation, how do I internationalize that?
Okay, so on Lyricist, we have a data class. We can use a class or even an interface to declare our strings. So each phrase is a property, okay? So hello world will be a property on that data class.
A property on the data class, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So each language we support in your app will have an instance of this data class. So a property for each language. And I can annotate this property with the annotation at lyricist strings. In there, I can set the language. So I can have a Olá Mundo in Portuguese. So I can say the locale is PT, or even PTBR, PTPT from Portugal. And the hello world from English will be a new property if using the same annotation, but the locale will be at N, right? So okay. So
how do you interpolate strings inside of that property that is already being referenced?
So that is very cool, because using XML, we need to use the percentage S for strings and percentage G for integers. So it's very limited, the XML support for interpolation. And on Kotlin, we can use type-safe lambdas. So the property hello world can be a lambda, and we can type each parameter of this lambda, even give a name to it. And you can declare our string using interpolation with the dollar symbol as you usually do. So it's full idiomatic Kotlin. We can use even annotated strings from Compose to format the strings using colors and font families and so on. We can use collections, any kind of collection to declare a list of things, even generics. So it's so Lyricist uses the full power of Kotlin to declare our strings, as Compose does for everything else.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to say I've also kind of like looked around a little bit. I mean, you have if you go to the Lyricist GitHub, you have a couple of very nice examples that show your DSL, and it does look quite idiomatic. Is there a particular feature that you're proud of specifically with Lyricist that you're saying this is something that other people haven't done like very well before, or it's particularly smooth in Lyricist, for example?
Not Lyricist by itself, but since it is an extension for Compose multi-platform, before Lyricist, we didn't have a internationalization lab, a multi-platform internationalization library. So we have some libraries that uses the Android internationalization workflow and the iOS one and bridge both. But we don't have a way to use only Kotlin and ignore the platform specificities and using a single source of truth for all our strings. So Lyricist give this idea, and I mean it's very simple. It's a data class and a bunch of properties. It's so simple idea.
Yeah, but it's honestly quite impressive how just taking a few data classes and a couple of properties together and then having something that works so well. And like as you said, having a library that is like pure Kotlin and that is Kotlin multi-platform from the get-go, of course, it kind of takes away a couple of the problems or let's say of the complications that might come with trying to bridge all the intricacies of like different systems that are platform specific. So this is, of course, I have to say this is very nice. Go ahead.
I have a question. Again, would you say you sell this as the missing piece of Jetpack Compose, as what's his name? I'm getting too old for this. Oh, Seb said just now, right?
out of all the names you could have forgotten, it was mine.
Can someone use this outside of Jetpack Compose and Compose multi platform?
Thanks to Kotlin Grants program, yes. The library was made with Compose in mind since the beginning, since 2021. And a few weeks ago, I have decoupled the API from Compose, and now it can be used in any project, any Kotlin multi-platform project. And Compose is not more a requirement. So basically, we have a strings property, which is a state flow. So every time the language changes, this state flow will emit a new strings to the flow. So we just need to observe to collect this flow and update the UI whenever the strings change. So no, Compose is not more mandatory.
Okay. And by the way, we were going to cover this a little bit later on, but since you brought it up, we'll mention it. You said thanks to the grant from the Kotlin Foundation, right? Now that's putting money to good use. You see, there you go. So, you were the actual winner of one of the grants that we gave from the Kotlin Foundation. But I'm not going to say more about that because we have news. And the news is that my colleague, Sebastian, otherwise known as Seth, I remember it this time, has recently been appointed as member of the ecosystem committee on the Kotlin Foundation. So I'm going to let him do the honors of congratulating you. And also, actually, have we ever introduced the ecosystem committee? We should. Let's do that, Seb. Go. All yours.
Sure. That sounds great. Yeah. Then first of all, let me focus on our guest here. Adriel, on behalf of the Kotlin Foundation and the Ecosystem Committee in particular, congratulations again on, of course, getting the grant, but also thank you so much for being a valuable part of Kotlin as a whole. People and projects like yours are why I think Kotlin is great and why I think a lot of people think Kotlin is really awesome. And of course, filling the important parts of the ecosystem, such as internationalization, localization, is something that's really, really great to have. So once again, thank you in a very official capacity.
And I thank you. I thank the Kotlin Foundation because this initiative. I have been working with open sourcing for about 12 years, and it's great to see this kind of initiative, this kind of support for the open source projects. We have so many open source libraries that we, as maintainers, we don't have time because we need to work to live, right? So giving this kind of support, this helps us to give time to focus on these projects, to keep them alive and improving. So yeah, thanks again.
So let's return to Lyricist after this brief intermission about the Kotlin Foundation and your awesome work here. When we talked about Lyricist before this episode, I did ask you briefly whether this is actually something that people use or whether it's used in production somewhere. So let me ask you this question on the air again now at this point. Is it used in production somewhere? Do you know of other projects using your libraries?
Yes. So the first stable release in 2021, I started using on the project from the company I work on, the Stone Payments in Brazil. And so far, we have almost 2 years using in production. It's working great. And we, a few months ago, we started using Kotlin multi-platform. So strings and translations are shared between iOS and even a React Native app. So we can do crazy things with Lyricist and Kotlin multi-platform. So I know that the TV app from Chris Bain is using, and some other open source apps. And so Lyricist has about 500 trials. So I don't know any other company which is using, but it's been stable for 2 years.
Wow, that's actually quite impressive. So you said you were using it in, did I understand it correctly? You were using it as like a, just in the Android part of your app before, and then essentially you got free benefits out of it when you started adopting Kotlin multi-platform because Lyricist is Kotlin multi-platform?
Yeah, so the first release was Android only. We didn't use Kotlin multi-platform since the beginning, and it was Jetpack Compose only. And 1 year later, we updated to Compose multi-platform and Kotlin multi-platform. So we started to give support to desktop and web. And a few months ago, we gave support to iOS. And it works even with Compose for iOS, which is in alpha right now. So yeah, we can use it on all Kotlin multi-platform supported projects. And it don't require any changes, any significant changes in the code to share between multi-platforms. So basically move from the Android folder to the common main folder, and yeah, it's done.
This is my favorite type of migration. So I actually, while I was doing a talk at DroidCon London, DroidCon New York, getting my major metropolises mixed up here. This was actually one of the
now
demos.
You're just showing off.
Yeah, so I didn't even go to DroidCon London. I'm just projecting. I'm sorry.
Could have left it at that. Like, I was trying. No. Okay, never mind.
No, don't worry. Sometime. No, but one of the demos I gave was actually part of taking an Android Jetpack Compose example and moving it to Compose multi-platform. And one of the key takeaways is the more of your dependencies, even if you're just building an Android app, right? The more of your dependencies that are already Kotlin multi-platform enabled, like Lyricist, the easier it is to make this change, to the point where if most of your stuff is multi-platform, you can literally just copy your files into a different directory, maybe switch out a couple of imports, and then it's just going to work, which I think is quite exciting. I also think it's really lovely that you did mention Chris Baines's TV app, because it's probably the best way for people to see how Lyricist fits into a rather large application. And that is it started out as a regular Jetpack Compose app and then got turned into a Compose multi-platform app. So you can see the iOS part and see how Lyricist and Compose both work on iOS as well within the context of that project. So it's probably definitely worth checking out here.
Yeah, and that's spelled TIVI, because when you say TV, everyone hears TV.
That is correct, yeah. I would hope that we would link this in the show notes. But
oh, that means people have to actually come somewhere and look at something.
That is correct. Such is the price of greatness. I don't know.
Yeah. Cool. So I know that this show was mainly about Lyricist, but I think both Seb and I are interested to hear a little bit more about something else that you've got going on, which could potentially be another grant. You never know. Which is called Voyager, or otherwise known as Compose on Warp Speed. I think you're into the whole marketing thing, you know, like Lyricist, the missing piece of Jetpack Compose. Voyager, Compose on Warp Speed. Now, for folks that are probably not old enough, there's a play there, right? Because Voyager is from a... Well, actually, I'll let you explain it, because the logo is also kind of... Yeah, now I'm worried if we're going to get sued. Anyway, go ahead.
So yes. I like to play with names. And for example, lyricist, I was inspired by the accompanist library from also Chris Bain in Focus at Google. So lyricist is the person who writes the lyrics, right, from the songs. And we, what you do in the project is write strings. So and Voyager is a navigation library for composing multi-platform. The name was inspired by Star Trek. The Voyager is one of those ships. And Voyager is basically a way to navigate from one screen to another using composing multi-platform. And it has a bunch of features we can talk about it. It supports Compose Kotlin multi-platform projects, so works on Android, iOS, desktop, even the web. The web support, I needed to improve, but it works.
Wow, that's honestly quite impressive, given that the whole web part is still very much fresh off the press and experimental. But I mean, hey, that's awesome to have. And I think I can speak for a lot of the community here when I say that there's been a very, very good reception of Voyager. It seems to have already found its niche kind of in the composed multi-platform world. A lot of people discovered it and really enjoyed it. I can say that I have a side project where I'm also tinkering around with Voyager as the navigation library. And it is very smooth.
Well, it's smooth, but is it fast? Because it says warp speed. Like, is that false advertising?
Yeah. So the API from Voyager is very pragmatic, is very simple. It has its own limitations. We have other navigation libraries that give more, for example, animation support and some more edge cases. So Voyager was designed to be simple to use, to cover 95% of all scenarios. It works off the box, has batteries included, it supports a lot of DI frameworks, has some built-in animations, and few model integration, and so on. So it's pretty simple to get started.
So, and you've written this yourself, or are there multiple contributors to Voyager?
Yep. Voyager has a lot of contributors. The most active is Gabriel, which is a coworker. Gabriel is actually maintaining Voyager for the past months. I have little time with two small kids to support my project. So one month I work on a project, another month I rest, another month I work on another project. So he's giving me a lot of support on my life.
Sorry, you said you have two kids.
Yes.
Oh, always getting in the way of open source, I swear, really. It's like, so selfish.
But what I think one of the points that you actually missed to mention in your list of features here, and one thing that I've actually heard brought up by a couple of people to me every once in a while, is that Voyager also has type-safe routing, which is very, very nice.
Yeah, so Voyager don't have a navigation graph as Jetpack navigation and other libraries. We don't need to declare it on Inun, or we don't have any restrictions. And basically we have a navigate function, a push function to navigate forward and a pop to navigate backwards. And each screen is a data class. So as any data class, we can set parameters, we can type safe all parameters. There is no serialization directly involved. We use serialization behind to save the state in restore. So yeah, it's a data class with parameters, and we can navigate from one screen to another. We can use interfaces, objects to declare our screens, but it's again the full power of Kotlin language, geometric Kotlin as we know.
And you said it was built with multi-platform from the beginning in mind as well here.
Voyager, I don't remember. No, Voyager started on Android again, so Jetpack Compose in 2021. And later on, we give support to Kotlin multi-platform and Compose multi-platform. So it was a kind of evolution, and now iOS support.
Okay, all right. But that still means that if I'm starting an Android project now and I'm not sure if I want to do multi-platform at some point in the future, Voyager is still a safe bet because, again, it's one of those dependencies I can bring in where I'm a little bit more decoupled from the underlying system, and I'll know that if I want to add iOS at a later point, I don't have to switch out my dependency for the navigation implementation. That's all built in, which is very, very cool.
So one of the cool things is it has its own view model implementation we call screen model, and it is multi-platform. So if you start a native Android project using Voyager and use screen models instead of Android view models, and later on you migrate to Kotlin multi-platform, we can basically move the screen models to the common man, and it should be available to other platforms as well.
I'm going to submit a pull request. I just noticed that in the README you say turn on the warp drive and enjoy the trek. I think it would be much better to say turn on the warp drive and enjoy the voyage. Right? Because trek isn't actually technically a thing. But voyage is like a long journey enjoy the ride.
What are you?
That's the limit of my capacity right of contributing to open source these days, right?
Please submit the pull request. Actually, I was in doubt about Voyager and Trek when I gave the name of the library. So Voyager was more creative.
Yeah, look at that. I've just looked at the dictionary definition of trek, and it does say to travel or migrate slowly or with difficulty, and I don't think that represents Voyager at all. So definitely need to switch that out.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
I do have another. While Hadi is busy making an open source contribution and, you know, giving back to the community the only way he can, I don't know. I have.
Wow.
Don't worry. I spent my time fixing like dependency snippets in like README files all the time. It's great to have people like you. It's a great way to actually, unironically. It's a good way to give back to the community.
Also, technically, I'm not sure whether I should leave the Spock gesture in there because Spock wasn't actually in Star Trek Voyager. There's going to be a lot of Star Trek fans that are going to criticize this. I'm just saying.
But we have some Vulcans. So,
yes, Vulcan is using this. That's like Spock. It's just like, okay, I'll leave it in there.
Okay, so while Hardy recovers from his like nerd creds, I'm not sure. I have one more question because you were talking about screen model and view model and everything, and that usually intertwines with a subject which I think can be a little daunting if you're just starting with Android, or maybe is also a little unclear if you're coming into multi-platform, which is the whole concept of like life cycles, right? Okay, great. At least listen to this, listeners. You're not alone with this. Can you maybe give like a brief overview of like what life cycles are, like where the challenges are, and then maybe also how Voyager tackles this for multi-platform?
The main issue with Voyager is basically life cycle, Android life cycle. We don't have, I think, any issue on desktop and web related to life cycle, but the Android one has its own nuances. It has a very complicated life cycle, and it's so tied to the operational system, to the Android core, to Activity itself. And what you try to do is basically ignore the activity. So my recommendation is a single activity per app, per flow, and have a clean activity without using any of on pause, on destroy. Please don't avoid using them unless you really need it. You can use those kinds of life cycle events inside Compose, so it has its own APIs. And we basically had to create our own life cycles, providers, and view model stores to interoperate with Compose. Interoperate with Android. So this is the most tricky and complicated code from Voyager. A few weeks ago, we fixed some bugs. The community is helping with some crashes and some requests. So there is a lot of discussions on the issues page. And it's the main reason we didn't release a stable release yet. It's on release candidate for a few months, for several months, actually. And I think we are close to a stable release because we fixed most of the bugs. But life cycle is so hard, so complicated.
Is it a topic that is exclusive to Android, or are there like life cycle considerations that you also have to do for like iOS? Because I know that there's like some events that your app receives for, like, I don't know, when it goes into the background or when it receives a memory warning and these kind of things, but I don't know if you need to have those in your app, or if you want to have those in your app, if it's maybe integrated with Voyager.
So the iOS support was recent, and didn't have any issue related to iOS lifecycle. So there is no specific code to iOS at the moment. Huh. And the Android one is a mess. But if you look at the activity class, the fragment class, it's also a mess. So yeah.
So this is mainly a matter of making sure that if you have any kind of like configuration changes and such, that your app still behaves and works the same, doesn't lose like state. Is that the main challenge, you would say?
Yeah, so if we use the screen models, which they have its own life cycle, it's not tied to Android, there is no issue, actually. But if you use view models, we have a layer of interop to help save the state. So it's more Android side of things.
Okay. So, but if I'm using your screen models that are built in, then hopefully I'll have less trouble with this.
Yes, because there is no Android specific code related to screen models, and the Compose itself has its own mechanism to save the state, to restore using Remember Savable and some other APIs, and we use that a lot. And it works great. So every kind of parameter you use, you know, data class or screens, it's saved, it's restored. So yeah, it works great.
And so what's missing for getting to 1.0 for your release?
It's mostly bug fixes, crash fixes related to the life cycle. The API is basically stabilized. We have some experimental APIs that we are trying experiment with them. But the crash is my concern. To don't give release a stable with no crashes or very big crashes that can be harmful in production. But we are getting there. We are getting there. This year yet.
I am very glad that we managed to get the change in, because I opened an issue for renaming coroutine scope to screen model scope. So I'm very glad that was I'm glad that got still added in there. Because now that I've moved my own code over to everything saying screen model scope, it looks a little nicer. But yeah, this is really awesome. Of course, we're wishing you the best of luck with the stabilization and all the bug fixing of Voyager. I hope that the view model won't be too mean to you over the next coming of weeks or so. But we are unfortunately out of time for today's episode. I think, as usual, if people want to learn more about Lyricist and Voyager, they can go to the websites that we have linked down below in the show notes. You have a very wonderful domain, adriel.cafe. That's honestly really, really great. Is there another place where that you would want to like shout out for people to have a look at?
So my GitHub page has both projects we talked today and a lot of other open source projects. And my Twitter account or my X account is Adriel Cafe, so it's the same nickname as GitHub. It's easy to find me out.
We'll make sure to include those in the show notes as well. And yes, for all of our listeners, I think we don't do this enough, Seb. Make sure you hit subscribe, that like button. We love the likes, the comments. We adore the feedback in the comments. This validates us, people. It validates us. The only thing that we have to actually measure the impact of our work are the likes and the comments.
And the subscribes.
And the subscribes. So if you like this show, let us know. We're not trying to monetize it. I mean, we've got a whole queue of sponsors waiting, like these unnamed branded unbranded headphones from Amazon. Yes. So, you know, we got money pouring in. It's not the money that we need. It's the subscribes. I wish. Anyway, yep. And we'll see you at the next Talking Kotlin, which will be live from... No, it won't be. It'll be recorded. Anyway. Bye.
Take care, everyone. Thanks for coming on again. And thanks to you, everyone, for listening. Bye.